Good news of Christmas centers around a person, God's unspeakable gift, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christmas season can also be called the event season. Is it time to search our hearts, I believe? We think not only of Jesus Christ being born as a baby, we also think of him as a risen, living, soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's no longer in the manger, but he is King of Kings, and he makes demands on our lives. Unconditional surrender to his lordship is the price believers need to pay in order to have a joyous testimony for him. There are many titles attributed to Jesus, and one of them that maybe especially as precious to us is Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Jesus was born, God became man. Tiny arms of the baby in the manger were the arms of the one who had laid the foundation of the universe. The coming of Jesus Christ into the world was the time when God came to earth. Why did Jesus come to the earth somewhere around 2,000 years ago? What was the purpose? I would like to look at four reasons or purposes. First, Jesus came to reveal the Father. John 1:18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. John 14:9, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Hebrews 1:3, Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right on the right hand of the majesty on high. God is a spirit. He is invisible. He cannot be seen with the physical eye. Perhaps you have asked the question, what is God like? One of the ways we can know something about the nature of God is to look at Jesus. Jesus came so that we could understand God better. You've heard the expression probably, now I have a face to put with a name. You know, we hear about some people and some of the points of interest about them, but we have never seen them, and then we have the opportunity to meet them, and then we have a face to put with the name. When we see Jesus, we have a face to put with the name of God. John 1:14, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We as men can have a better understanding of God since the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In Israel, generation after generation looked for the Messiah. Soon after man was driven out of the Garden of Eden, they looked for the promised Redeemer. And then one night, a little over 2,000 years ago, God stepped out of the frame of the universe and appeared on earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to the earth so that we might learn to know better what God is like. Point number two. Jesus came to put away sin. 1 John 3:5, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and him is no sin. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Jesus was speaking of his crucifixion and death when he said, for this cause came I into this world. Could we say that the main reason Jesus Christ came to Bethlehem was to die? As we know, all have sinned. Every one of us has fallen short of the standard which God demands. So as there is a separation between us and God. The separation is so great that though man is capable of building many and great bridges, I've had a desire to travel on the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. Have not done that yet. It's still in my bucket list of things that I would like to do sometime, but this is quite an engineering feat, this bridge tunnel system. I think it covers about 17 and a half miles and crosses the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay. So there are many types of very impressive bridges, but man is not able to build a bridge to span the great gulf that sin has caused. Some think it can be spanned by good works. Many people have done many things, great things, but it's not enough. One person Milton Hershey was the founder of the Hershey Chocolate Company, and I think history would say that he was born in a Mennonite home back in the early 1900s. He donated company stock to the Milton Hershey School for Orphaned Children, and he donated $60 million. So $60 million is a lot of money even by today's standards, but by standards in days gone by, it was a very great amount. Milton Hershey's organization owned farms where I was acquainted with one family that lived on one of those farms, and those farms I think were for the purpose of having a place for orphan boys to work. And so it was near Hershey, Pennsylvania, which is kind of between Harrisburg and Reading. Lebanon County, I believe, are nearby. But doesn't really matter if it's 60 cents, $60, $60 million, or $60 billion. It's all the same. If you're Mennonite, if you're Brethren, if you're Lutheran or Baptist, none of these will span the gulf. Doesn't matter what denomination you are, doesn't matter how much you give. If we fall short of God's standard on Monday, we can never erase the guilt by walking straight on Tuesday. No person can erase his own guilt, and neither can any human being erase it for us. All persons, no matter how upright and morally clean they are living, still have come short of God's demands, and therefore all men need to be saved. Been explained this way. I think there's a little illustration I wanted to share. think I probably shared this before already. Of course, this is hypothetical. Suppose an airplane is flying towards a base on the continent of Antarctica, and suddenly it crashes into the frigid waters north of the continent. Three men are thrown into the ocean, and the plane sinks at once. Nobody is near the spot, and the closest land area is the country of New Zealand, 1,000 miles away. One of the men can swim for 10 minutes. Second man can swim for 2 hours. Third man is the world's champion long-distance swimmer. Which of these three are going to reach safety? The answer is obvious. None of them will reach safety. The only difference between them is that one man will drown in 10 minutes, another in 2 hours, and the champion will drown in a few hours. And this is a parable of the human family. The criminal is like the swimmer who is able to keep afloat for 10 minutes. The average person is represented by the swimmer who can stay on the surface for 2 hours. The honest and unusually upright person who is a good citizen, has tremendous personality, is like the champion swimmer, but is still unable to reach land. All humans need a savior. God did not become a man only to teach us how to live. Neither did he come only to perform miracles. Jesus came into the world primarily to journey toward the cross. And Jesus' death on the cross was an act by which he made it possible for us to be delivered from darkness. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Third reason Jesus came. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil is a deceiver. He promotes selfishness, jealousy, and cruelty. It's hard to comprehend, and I really can't comprehend how cruel man can be. And we see that as reports come out of Syria, how cruel the former or the president of that country was. And we read other accounts of other places, other times, and currently, how cruel man is to other people. Can't comprehend that. But it's the works of the devil. They are sins which humans commit. But Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. The Greek meaning of the word destroy also includes the idea of loosen, one who is bound and set free. Christ came that he might shatter the chains of sin that bind us, that binds men, to set men free. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might loosen and set people free from the works of the devil. We think about the story in Mark 5, where I think that's a classic example of where the man was possessed with devils and Jesus freed him. And also we have the story in Mark 9, where the father brought his son, and he was also possessed with a devil, and Jesus delivered him. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might loosen human beings from the works of the devil. As we move about, we hear many sad situations. Man has gotten into many mixed up situations, some that are so deep and tangled that when we look at them, we don't see how it can ever be straightened out. Many home situations. We don't, but nothing the devil has done or causes man to do is too hard for Jesus to undo. And we need to rest in that. We're so thankful for that. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil and to make a way for man to live in victory. So thankful for that. Excuse me. Fourth reason Jesus came. Jesus came to prepare for a second coming. Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. This season of the year we think about the first coming of Jesus. We enjoy and are blessed when we hear Christmas carols, such as Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. And yet, as we rejoice that Jesus came, we realize that this present age cannot continue as it has been going. Sin abounds on every hand. To a large degree, peace and righteousness have not been established. 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Something more is needed. The first coming of Jesus was a preparation for his second coming, Acts 1:11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Lots of people live as if life as we know it will continue, like it has been. They say grass is still green, cows still give milk, dogs bark at the moon, just like they always have. 2 Peter 3:4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Let's be reminded that the same Jesus who came over 2,000 years ago will be returning. Scriptures told of his first coming. Many years before he came, he paid the price for man's sin. The scriptures prophesy that this same Jesus will come to earth again. Second coming of Jesus is not to do what he has already done, but to complete our salvation. He came the first time as the author of our salvation. He's coming the second time as the finisher of our faith. He came the first time to atone for our sins. He's coming the second time to execute judgment on earth. When he came the first time, there was no room for him in the inn. When he comes the second time, the whole world will make room for him. Philippians 2:10-11, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Not a universal room in man's hearts, but a universal recognition that Jesus Christ is supreme over the universe. Jesus came the first time to deal with sin and to pay the price for it. Jesus is coming the second time to set up his kingdom on earth and to bring peace and order to this troubled planet. Jesus Christ came a little over 2,000 years ago and lived and died to save men and women from hell. He's coming again to redeem creation, to glorify the church, and to rule with a rod of iron. Revelations 19, 15 and 16. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I read this interesting commentary. I think I'll read it for our benefit. When Jesus came the first time, the world was ripe for his coming. The conditions on earth were ideal for penetrating the world with God's program of salvation. Alexander the Great, through his world conquests, had spread the Greek culture and language across the Mediterranean world. Greek was the universal language, and so people did not have to spend years studying new languages before they could preach in other parts of the world. The Romans had conquered most of Europe and the Mideast and had built roads and established a monetary system which eliminated the need for travel visas and money exchanges when going from country to country. People were tired of the philosophies of paganism and as a result were hungering for truth about the great mysteries of life here and hereafter. The world was ripe for this first advent of our Savior. What about his second coming? Is the time right? Matthew 24:36-39, But of the day and hour knoweth no man, no not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I believe our day could be described as the night before the second Christmas. And on that second Christmas day, when Jesus comes again, we are going to be like him. Our redemption will be complete. Wars will cease, and peace will reign on the earth. As we think about the time and place and circumstances of Jesus' first coming, let's try to remember the purposes for which he came. He came to reveal God the Father. He came to put away sin. He came to set us free from the works of the devil. He came to prepare for his second coming. During this season, the challenges I would leave with you is concentrate on why Jesus came, and to also think on his second coming, and to ascertain to be ready for that time. It is sad to know that many a heart and home this season will have no more room for Jesus than the Judean innkeeper had in Bethlehem. But each of us has the opportunity to invite him into our heart, into our life. Room for Jesus. The poet says, Thou camest, O Lord, with the living word that should set thy people free, but with mocking and scorn and with crown of thorn, and they take thee to Calvary. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. When the heavens shall sing, and its choirs shall sing at thy coming to victory, thou wilt call me home, saying, yet there is room at my side for thee. If we have room in our heart for Jesus today, he will have room for us when life on this earth is over. May the Lord bless each one as we consider these things.